Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy. We continue on with our Bible survey. And we are at number 90. Now you quickly figure out there's 66 books in the Bible, so I didn't make all of them in one crack. But we are at number 90 tonight. We'll look at a little bit of a different letter, but again, a letter. This time a letter written from Paul to young Timothy. The last several letters that we've seen from Paul have been letters of Paul to specific churches. And in this case, Paul writes to Timothy, a pastor, a young pastor of the church of Ephesus. And it would seem to me that young Timothy has many questions and young preacher struggles and things that go on. And Paul's writing this letter to encourage him, to reassure him, and to guide him. We see this in the first couple of verses about the author of the letter and the recipient of the letter. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So that's the author, Paul. Unto Timothy, notice how he addresses him, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have in this text the players of the letter here. We have the key players, Paul and Timothy. Now, we've met Timothy back in Acts on the first missionary trip that Paul made. Look at Acts chapter 16. Actually, Acts chapter 16 would be the beginning of the second trip, probably. But it would seem as though when Paul was in Lystra on the first trip that Timothy was converted under the preaching of Paul, is what most believe took place. Chapter 16, we see here again these two come together. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, or a Gentile. Greek and Gentile are synonymous terms in the New Testament. His father was a Gentile, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Now it seemed to most that have studied their history a whole lot more than I have, and it would seem to fit with what I understand, is that probably on Paul's first missionary journey to Lystra, Paul was preaching, Timothy was saved, and he came back. And here, this young Timothy was recommended to him. He was well reported of by the brethren. And pretty soon then you begin to see Timothy and Paul carrying on together. Now, Acts chapter 16 would have been right around A.D. 50. Something right around that time. And the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, that we know as 1 Timothy, was probably around A.D. 63. So about 13 years have transpired, according to the Reese Chronological Bible and some other chronologies that I could resource, that it's been about 13 years since the time that Timothy was recommended to Paul, started traveling with Paul, that Timothy is now a pastor of the church of Ephesus, and Paul is writing him a letter. And in that 13 years, they'd spent a lot of time together. The better part of 10 years, probably, they had spent together ministering in various places on Paul's second missionary journey and beyond that. We then find out from 1 Timothy in our text, back in our text in 1 Timothy, in chapter 4 and verse 14... 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul makes reference to him being a part of Timothy's ordination. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. We would understand that. I would understand that to be Paul taking part in Timothy's ordination. And reference is made to that in the second letter as well. If you're taking notes, the first chapter and the sixth verse of the second letter, he mentions again that the laying on of the hands, Paul being a part of the ordination of young Timothy. Whatever the history, and whenever Timothy would have been converted, what we do know is that Paul considered him, as he puts it in this letter, mine own son in the faith. Whether or not he was saved under Paul's preaching is not definite. But what is definite is that he spent a lot of time with Paul, and that Paul looked at him as his own son in the faith and addresses him that way more than once and shows it in his letters. We read in Acts 16 about Timothy's godly mother. Look here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. She's referenced again in the next letter that we'll look at, Lord willing, next week. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Paul's writing to Timothy, this unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Timothy had been raised up in the faith by godly women. And somewhere along the line, the Lord converted Timothy. Somewhere then beyond that, Timothy was recommended to Paul's ministry and second missionary journey. And they had become great friends after that. And no doubt, if they'd had cell phones, Timothy had been calling Paul and said, what do I do? I mean, I've got this going on. The young church at Ephesus was growing. In Acts chapter 20, Paul told him, grievous wolves going to go in there and try to stir things up. Now you take heed. Now, Timothy wasn't the pastor yet then, I don't think. But he told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, the Lord's made you overseers. Now watch out, because when I leave, grievous wolves are going to try to come in and stir up the flock. And they had. And they will. And young Timothy had his hands full. According to Acts 20, there would have been a multiplicity of elders or pastors, synonymous terms, and that Paul summons them. And so Timothy wouldn't have been completely alone there in that ministry, but he would have been full of questions. Timothy, when you read between the lines a little bit, doesn't seem to be as choleric as Paul. Paul was kind of out there and type A, dominant, choleric personality, just getting things done. Timothy didn't seem to be that personality. He seemed to be more laid back, a little more timid and nervous. Maybe that's why Paul said something to him about a little wine for your belly's sake in one of the letters. And so Paul recognized Timothy has a medical problem, and he's timid, and he needs all the prayers I can give him and encouragement that I can give him. He writes him a letter. And so we have in 1 Timothy this letter. Now, I want to read the text. This is verse 14 and 15 sets the stage for the entire letter. Chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. This will set the stage for the entire letter. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy, and he tells him right in the letter, this is why I'm writing it. You ought to know how to behave, and you ought to know how to lead others to behave in the house of God. And so we'll break this letter up into three parts. The first chapter will be the pastor and the message. Now, I've intentionally not said the pastor and his message, because it's not his message. It's the Lord's message. If he's doing what he ought to be doing, it's the Lord's message. So the pastor and the message. Look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1. The first section we'll deal with is chapter 1. Pastor and the message, verses 3 and 4, first of all. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightst charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now here's young Timothy, pretty new to this thing the way it seems. And Paul says, you charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And so he says to Timothy, you need to stay with sound doctrine. Stay with sound doctrine. Now he contrasts it, verses 5 through 7, with what is not sound doctrine. And verse 6 is noteworthy. From some which having swerved have turned aside to vain jangling. That's not really a phrase we use much anymore. Vain jangling. It's interpreted in the Greek, babble. They just ramble on. They just speak to speak. He says right in here at the end of verse 7, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're saying. They just talk to talk because they think they sound good. And he calls it vain jangling, or just unceasing babble. And he said, Timothy, you need to keep this under control. Don't let folks rise up in the midst and start teaching other doctrine than what you've learned from me and what you know to be sound doctrine. So this is part of the pastor and the message. Verses 11 through 15. Look at verse 11 with me. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul, champion of the gospel. We know Paul defending the gospel, outlining the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for sinners. In Galatians chapter 1, they preach any other gospel. You realize this, it's not a true gospel, and they let them be accursed. And so Paul said, stick with the true gospel, and look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here's the good news. Here's the gospel. Jesus saves. Saves sinners. Paul said, I'm chief. Now, Timothy, you stay with sound doctrine. Don't get that babble. Let that babble start rising up and getting traction in your people. And you stay with the sound gospel. And we know what Paul says about the gospel. And we just take you to verse 15 for time's sake. Jesus saves sinners. And Timothy, stay with that message. And then verses 18 and 19 of this text. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, and thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Timothy, I want you to stay with sound doctrine. I want you to stay with the true gospel, and I want you to be a warrior for Christ. I want you to put on the armaments of war found in the gospel, of course, the Bible kind of armaments of war, and I want you to go out there and you be a warrior for Christ, and don't quit fighting. I listened to a preacher the other day. He said, I'm going to preach until you shoot me, and even after you shoot me, I'm going to preach till the blood, last drop of blood is out of my body. I'm going to preach. And that's what kind of what Paul's telling Timothy here. You keep on keeping on. So that's the first section of this book, this letter from Paul to Timothy, the pastor and the message. The second section, the pastor and moral leadership. The pastor and moral leadership. He sets the standard, he sets the stage. This is a humbling letter for me. As I look at this letter, as I look at what Paul instructed in Timothy, it gets to me because I see all the ways, that, and more so all the time, that I don't measure up. And Paul is instructing Timothy here, the pastor, in moral leadership. Chapter 2 through 4 will cover in this section. Chapter 2 through chapter 4. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The first thing that I'll draw to your attention about the pastor and moral leadership is prayer. And lots of prayer. And prayer for others. Intercessory prayer for others. Praying for those that are in authority. You notice there in verse 1, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, all kinds of prayers. Be a prayer warrior. Keep praying. Pray for others. Pray on others' behalf. And that's intercessory prayer. Don't forget to give thanks. We have so much to give thanks for. We forget. We make a grocery list of the 1,000 things we want to tell God how to work out in our lives, and we forget to thank Him for one. Pray, when we're praying, give thanks. The pastor and moral leadership, he has a lengthy section then about keeping things in order. Verse 8 through 12, this section here, will deal with order in the services. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So Paul begins to deal with order in the services. He begins to deal, and any time that you realize that Paul's dealing in order, you must also realize he is not dealing with superiority and inferiority. He's not saying that the man is superior and the woman is inferior. He's saying we have different roles. And he's talking about having order in the services. And Paul is instructing young Timothy, the pastor, and his moral leadership and oversight, keeping things in order. In chapter 3, he deals with the qualifications of pastors. In the first 7 verses, a lengthy list of qualifications. And the deacon starts in verse 8 and goes down to verse 13. Very much the same list. That these are to be in place so that order will be maintained and a high moral standard will be maintained. Amen. So we have Paul encouraging young Timothy, keep order. Okay? Pray for everyone and keep order. We have Paul encouraging young Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So we have, and then it goes on and begins to list some of these heresies, some of these lies and hypocrisies. Paul, remember this section, the pastor and moral leadership. remind them of sound doctrine. He goes back to this in verses 6 and 7. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Now there's something there that I want you to make note of. Put them in remembrance. They know these things. I know these things. But I have to be reminded of these things. Many times have I been in a situation where someone will say the most basic thing to me that I've known and knew for years, and they say, well, what about this? And it's like, oh yeah, exactly that. It's so basic, but I have to be reminded of it sometimes. We have to be reminded. Peter said, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I know you know this, but I'm going to keep it before you so you remember it. And Paul's telling Timothy, don't worry about the fact that they already know it. Remind them. Put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. There he says it again. Whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Remind them of sound doctrine and keep reminding. You all need it and I need it. We need it. And so we have Paul telling young Timothy, the pastor and moral leadership, pray. Keep sound doctrine. Keep qualified pastors and deacons when they're there. Keep these things in order. Keep things God-honoring. Verses 11 and through 13, but I especially want to bring your attention to verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, young Timothy, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation or lifestyle, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy, be a good example. The pastor and moral leadership. The church folks will rarely rise above the pastor. When the pastor's morality is down, probably the church's morality is down. The pastor must set the standard of Jesus Christ. He must strive to be, well, Paul says, an imitator of Christ. Now, I won't make that, but it ought to be my only goal. And I ought not to ever stop short of that goal, or stop trying short of that goal, because the minute that I stop trying, I let down the standard, and that gives everyone else the opportunity to say, well, it's good enough for the pastor. And so I will preach the standard high. And I will not preach myself as the standard, but Christ is the standard. And so Paul is telling young Timothy in his moral leadership, pray for others. Keep things in order. Keep godly leadership overseeing the flock. And so that covers the pastor and the message, the pastor and moral leadership, and then lastly, the pastor and ministry, chapter 5 and 6. The ministry of the pastor, ministering to others, being a blessing, an encouragement to others, taking care of necessity, taking care of things that need to be cared for, and taking care specifically of certain ones that need to be cared for. The first two verses of chapter 5, respect your elders. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. And he reminds young Timothy, have a good respect for the elderly around you. He reminds young Timothy to take care of the widows. And from verse 3 through verse 16, he gives us a lengthy set of guidelines for caring for widows. And he divides that up into younger widows and older widows, whom he calls widows indeed. And he throws out the age of 60, and he encourages the younger to remarry. He encourages Timothy, you make sure you care for the widows indeed, especially. Now he goes and he talks in verses 4. We look at verse 4, if the widow have children or nephews, and that word could be translated grandchildren just as easily. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents. Let them find some help at home. I mean, it's the duty of the family to be ready to step up and help this widow. For that is good and acceptable before God. Look at verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That is specifically in this context of caring for these widows, and especially the older widows that probably will not remarry. And they need someone to lean on. And first, Paul instructs Timothy, that's the family. Verse 16, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. And so Paul is saying first, let family there try to take that responsibility to some extent and make sure that the church is being good stewards of that which the Lord has given. So verses 3 through 16, Paul is telling young Timothy how to keep order in this aspect of ministry, the pastor and ministry. Verses 19 through 22 of this same chapter, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now he's telling them, you address sin when it's in the open. You deal with it openly, that others may see this and fear, verse 20. And he says, I charge you before God that you do this without partiality. You don't say, if I address this sin, this big tither will quit coming to our church, so I'm just going to keep it quiet. No! A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, Paul has already said in 1 Corinthians, right? And so Paul says, Timothy, you've got to address it. If it's open sin, you address it openly and deal with it. And do it without partiality. That's a part of the pastor and ministry. It's a part of keeping order. It's a part of working towards honoring God. And then also in verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Timothy, keep thyself pure. Part of the pastor and ministry. Lastly, chapter 6. I want you to read with me. Really, verses 1 through 10 is all dealing with maintaining a proper view of labor and a proper view of the right use of money. And look at verse 10. For the love of money. Love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Timothy, and he's dealing first in the earlier portions of this with servants or employers and employees, and I think he's drawing it back around to Timothy. Don't get caught up in the almighty Well, he wouldn't have had the dollar. But don't get caught up in filthy lucre. Timothy, you're not in this for money. Of course, Peter said that long before Timothy did. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have any of that. What I have is the Lord Jesus Christ and authority from Him to preach and to heal, Peter said. Timothy, don't get caught up in money and the love of money. And it's all part of the pastor and ministry. I don't know a pastor yet that quit his secular job to go into ministry because it was more money. Well, not one worth his salt. Not one worth his salt. He quit his secular job and went into the ministry because he felt God called him to do that and no other reason. And then, the pastor in ministry, verses 11 through 14 of chapter 6. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't that long ago, Brother Bourne, that I made reference to, probably about 10 years ago, and you guys were down in Florida and you were leaving, and I said, what does the old man have to say to the young man? And you immediately said to me, keep on keeping on. And that's what Paul just told Timothy. Timothy, just keep on keeping on. I've given you a little overview of the pastor and the message. I've given you a little overview of the pastor and moral leadership. I've given you an overview of the pastor and ministry. And I write these things to you that you ought to be, so that you know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. And you know how to lead and keep order and have a house of God that honors God and not a circus, you know, not a chaotic circus, but an orderly house that honors God. May God help us to do just that and have that here at Faith Missionary Baptist Church. Paul was writing to Timothy a couple thousand years ago, but he got all over me as I was studying for this. And you pray for your pastor, and you pray one for another. And in fact, we're going to dismiss a little differently tonight, but I'd like to have